When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, a stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes.
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This crowd was singing high hopes, smiling through a broken nose. Oh, high hopes, high hopes. I feel a little less alone.
Yo! Another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. Jack Fritz, James Seltzer with you. It's an emergency pod. Who'd have thunk it? Here's my question, Jack. First and foremost, for those people who don't know, which is just you, I can hear myself echoing after I talk. I'll say something and then I hear it immediately after. So I'm powering through it. This is what I'm here for, Jack. Jack, my question to you, and I don't want to start with a negative, but is this more the Phillies Kepler emergency pod, or is this the Phillies did not sign Mike Soroka emergency pod?
Well, thank you for bringing up Mike. I forgot about him.
We knew it was going to happen, you know?
Because I've been deep diving into Max Kepler for the last 24 hours. The Soroka thing was heartbreaking. Disappointed, as always, in Preston Mattingly for not getting the job done, even though we gave him a hint, a guy that had struck out over 50% of his guys in September. But he's now a deadline target, James. I want to officially put that out there. He's a national. They're not going to be competing. So we will get Soroka at the deadline. So that's first and foremost. When you hear yourself twice, do you think to yourself, man, I sound good?
That is not what I thought. No. Honestly, I can't really think because I have to focus so much on what I'm saying as it's coming back that something else that... Honestly, I have no idea what's happening.
I think you sound great. I think this is the best you've sounded.
Thanks, buddy. It probably is.
So I'm just going to be honest. When it first happened, a little surprised.
Yeah. Who wasn't?
But, I mean, this is the Zach Bond signing all over again by Howie.
Oh, hey, no!
This is Zach Bond all over again. Are you kidding me?
You locked yourself in way quicker.
It took me a mere sleep. It took me a one night sleep and looking at his 2023 baseball savant. That's all it took. You know, like Max Kepler. So in classic Phillies and High Hopes bit, they've drafted someone or they signed someone or whoever that I've never really been a big fan of, even though the analytic darlings have always told me how actually good Max Kepler is. So now I'm relying on the nerds to deliver me a good quality major league player, which for a majority of his career, he has been, James. He's been a pretty good player for a good stretch. I'm mostly in on Max Kepler.
So it's funny that you said what you said, because I was the exact opposite. You know those guys who, when you have I can barely talk with a second. You know in fantasy, when you have guys who, they're like, that guy's better than people think he is. If you have him on your team, you watch him day to day, you're like, that guy's not as bad as people think he is. That's Max Kepler to me. Like, I've always enjoyed owning Max Kepler in fantasy. To your point about Savant Page, he does have a nice page. Like, he doesn't strike out a ton for a guy who has the power he has. It's like average strikeout rate, league average for a guy who has as much power. That's pretty good. That's what you like to see. He walked more prior to last season, uh-huh. last year, down year for walks, but has been a pretty good strikeout to walk guy. Above average fielder. Now we'll have to get into the right field of it all because the guy's never played left field before. So I'm going to assume maybe we're moving Nick back to left. But I think overall, like, Max Kepler's one of those guys. It's funny because it feels a lot like the Romano signing to mm-hmm. me, where it's like 1 year deal for a manageable price. This seems like in a vacuum, like a smart move that a team makes. I think Max Kepler on a 1 year deal for $10 million is a nice move. It's a really solid move. I just think when you look at these two moves and what we're, you know, expecting for, hoping for coming the offseason, I think that's why people are looking at it being like, Max Kepler, this sucks. But I do think in and of itself, if you just look at Max Kepler, 1 year, $10 million, and grant another lefty, which would prefer he wasn't, but I think it's a solid move for the Phillies.
Yeah, it's funny because I don't know what the Phillies could, what move they could make right now that would not have the reaction of, what are they doing? Dave Dombrowski's cooked, you know? So they're taking shots on decent bounce back candidates. And the Romano signing is a perfect comp for this. Because again, you look at Max Kepler before last year, and last year was a disaster. He was dealing with a hip injury. He had core muscle surgery after the season. He was clearly banged up. But if you look at the last really 5 years before last year, where everything fell off a cliff, like, people were talking about how big of a chase guy is. He's not really a chase guy. He chased last
year. Not career-wise.
He was trying to overcompensate for having his injuries and trying to still be a productive player. His whiff rate for a long time had been perfectly fine. Especially
for a guy whose, like, power is his biggest asset as a hitter, usually those guys have worse coverage than he does.
And had he had a typical Max Kepler kind of year heading into this offseason, he's not signing a 1 year $10 million deal. So it's a pretty decent bet. Obviously they paid good amount for him for a 1 year deal. I mean, arb wise, he probably would have signed for $8 million, you know, but so you go a little bit over to lock him in. And I don't get the Jeff Passan said he's probably going to play left field. What are we doing?
Really?
Part of his value is being
he's above average right fielder.
He's one of the better defensive right fielders in the game.
I mean, he can play center if he needs to. He has.
Yeah. I mean, I don't.
Not in a pinch. I'm talking in a pinch. But my point is, if you can fill in at center, means you can usually handle right.
Yeah. And listen, it's not like saying that left field is impossible to learn. Obviously not. If you're a really good right fielder, you're going to be fine in left field. But it's more just like, put Castellanos back in left field. And if it is value,
the guy who's better in right is right. Yeah.
It's just not that hard. So I maybe that's just early reporting. I don't know. But I hope that it eventually switches over and Kepler's in right field. But, you know, other than that, I mean, he's going to be, I think when people signed him, they're like, it's more of a fourth outfield bet. I don't think that's the case at all. I think that they went out, they wanted Max Kepler on the idea of a bounce back. They paid him real money. Maybe they signed a right-handed platoon option, maybe. But I think they're heading into the season with the idea that Max Kepler is going to be in the opening day roster and play a decent amount. You mentioned about, you know, wanting another right-handed hitter or left-handed hitter or another right-handed hitter in the lineup. And while I do agree, I think the struggles this team had against right-handed pitching last year is not to be understated as well. I mean, sure. Second half of the year, I believe they were 23rd or 24th in now you're going to like this, in weighted runs created plus against right-handed pitching. But against left-handed pitching, they were still top five.
WRC plus, the classic.
You're a big fan. You're a big fan. But they stunk against right-handed pitching. So left-handed pitcher, they mostly held their own. I think they stayed top five for a majority of the season. They kind of fell off a cliff against right-handed pitching. I would like a right-handed bat too, but going for someone who does better against right-handed pitching because they need it also isn't the worst idea in the world.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, ironically, last year, the 1 year in Kepler's career where he did better against left-handed pitching than right-handed pitching.
That's what we do.
Career-wise, a much better hitter against right-handed pitching. I think he's like close to an 800 OPS against right-handed pitching in his career and below 700 against left-handed. So, look, I'm with you on that, and I totally agree. I think Max Kepler was signed to be an everyday player for this team, or like a 130-game player, 140, whatever, like the much heavier side of a I don't even think it's a platoon of it. Maybe not every day, but he was signed to play a lot. I agree with you. But my question, like, on the days when you're facing right-handed pitching, I know you got Marsh in center, you got Kepler in left, are you going to be able to, against left-handed pitching, roll out an outfield of Marsh and Kepler? Or, I mean, like, look, we talked about internal options. We'll see what they do. But internal options, Justin Crawford, really the only other, Rojas, but you know what I mean, the only potential center field option to get excited about. Uh-huh. Another left-handed hitter. Do you worry at all about having no versatility against left-handed pitching in that spot?
Well, it comes down to, do you want to upgrade the Weston Wilson spot? I mean, that's kind of what we're dealing with. And I'm just getting you prepared for it. I'm getting our listeners prepared for it. 1 year, $3 million for Austin Hayes. I mean,
oh god.
I mean, nope. Come on down. You know it's coming. You can play.
They like him, man.
They
want to justify the move. Yes. They're like, oh no, we really like them.
Yes, come on, man. A little Friday news dump around 5 o'clock of an Austin Hayes resigning heading into the holidays. Come on, man. It's the holiday season.
I can just tell you, we will not be doing an Austin Hayes emergency.
No, it really. The only reason we had to do this pod today is because it's just. It feels like there's a lot of confusion on the whole Max Kepler signing of the world. He's Max Kepler, not emergency pod worthy.
No,
in years.
No,
past.
No, it's not
in years past. So it's really.
Yeah, we've done a Jordan Romano and a Max Kepler emergency pod. The way the offseason is we hoped it would go.
Had this team not been in a World Series window, I would definitely be more geeked up about Jordan Romano and Max Kepler.
100%, dude. Again, that's why I keep saying in a vacuum, I really like both of these signings. Like, 1 year, $8 million for Romano makes total sense. The guy could come back to being a great closer for $8 million. Like, of course. Kepler, to your point, prior to last year, like, absolutely worth $10 million for a season, probably more. The guy had 31 home runs 5 years ago. Like, it's in him. But, and you know, I'm one of my my things I believe. Like, there's no such thing as a bad one-year deal. Like, it's just a year. I love the moves in and of themselves. It's just, to your point, it's for coming off, you know, declining playoff finishes three straight years, and they've got Harper turning 31 and JT's yep. 45 years old or whatever. I mean, you know, all these guys are getting old and the window's there. So I think that, and look, I think you and I are being way more rational about this than most Phillies fans. I mean, the reaction I'm seeing, and you would know even better because you've got your finger on the pulse.
Oh, man, yeah.
But like, it does feel like people are upset so far, Jack.
Yeah. Because I think once you recalibrate your expectations of this offseason, I think that it becomes easier to kind of justify. And I guess, listen, we all head in the offseason thinking, oh, here's going to be all these huge moves, and then they're going to reshape the roster. I mean, the reality...
Juan Soto!
And the reality is that you could be potentially making your team worse at spots. I mean, at this point, do you really want to trade Alec Bohm if you can't get an obvious win of a deal? Like, if it comes down to 2 years of Bohm versus seven of Bregman, I would rather have 2 years of Bohm. 7 years.
I would too.
7 years.
And look, it does seem like the rest of the league doesn't value Bohm as much as the Phillies do. And when that happens, you don't trade a guy.
Well, again, I think if I was reading what they're doing with the Bohm thing right, it feels as if they're saying, okay, we'll trade him if you give us something really, really good.
Something serious.
But we're not going to just, so that, you know, they're not going to just give him away, and they don't want to.
Which is good.
Which is fine. And I would rather have Bohm than Arenado. I mean, the Arenado thing, again, I just have.
I'm not in.
No interest. So you look at where the team's at. They're trying to find value at the margins. I would not be surprised at all if you look at the end of this year and both Kepler and Romano outperform their contracts. I think there's certainly a world where that's possible. It's a pretty deep.
I think it's even likely.
Yeah, I think it's a really good bet that they will. There's not that splash change this thing up. But you also, do you really want to make a 95 win ball club that much worse? And I think that's where you start having reality kick in, which I'm not the biggest fan of being reality guy, James. You know me. I would much rather be fan guy. But I think that we're kind of, you can't subtract from a 95 win ball club and take a huge step back. Now, we've also pushed back on the idea of them being, you know, just kick your feet up and you're going to win 90 games next year. I don't think that's going to be the case. They played 2.5 months of 500 baseball. If they're going to have to show up, they're going to have to make different kind of moves here. But, you know, for a year where after the year, you're going to get off of JT probably. And if you do resign him, it's not going to be at $25 million a year. Schwarber, I don't think he's going to get as big of a contract as he got the last time, but, you know, probably still $15 million. I mean, there's probably, but they do have a good amount of money coming off the books to where you can keep this core here. You're not getting rid of your main pieces in the farm system. And again, we talked about the deadline and we talked about it in the early in the offseason, James, but they clearly are very, very concerned about closing this window. And they're just trying to keep it open as long as possible. And that's why they're signing a bunch of one-year guys. And, you know, I think the off seasons of 2026 and 2027 is when we're going to start seeing them really spend on a big-time contract.
Yeah, that's the feeling that I'm getting to. And look, I think they should commit to this window. We've talked about that a lot. But I also, you know, we went through it. I remember we did pods during it. Like, I remember 2012 to 2022. You know, we all remember it. So. Like, I also, you know, I speak out both sides of my mouth, but which is happening in my ears right now. I also, like, can understand not wanting to trade these top prospects, not wanting to, you know, get into the same type of situation you were in before, especially when you're talking about having guys like Turner and Harper whose contracts aren't going to be done soon. And you are going to have that back end play, especially Turner, more concerning. Where, you know, you're going to have cheaper guys to be able to balance that out. Like, so I get it. I think it's just, you know, it's frustrating. Uh-huh. While I can look at it and say, this is smart in a lot of ways, and maybe I don't agree philosophically about not going all in a moment, but I can at least logically understand it. And look, maybe we should have listened to Dave Moore in that end of season press conference.
I know. He was maybe he was.
He never lies, and we're like, oh, he's lying. Like,
I know.
He never lies.
And let me just get this out there, because listen, I'm sort of sick with myself as well for this thought process, but it's also probably the least surprising thing in the history of the High Hopes podcast. Getting pretty excited about seeing the prospects come up. I mean,
like, you are, buddy. Like, I know you are.
What, like Aiden making his debut and the idea of the
we will be there for that.
Oh, you kidding me? I mean, we went to Wilmington with 300.
Talk about the all-time High Hopes night.
Yeah, well, and listen, I will be there. I'll be there for Justin Crawford. Give me all of them. Give me all of these guys coming up and making their debuts and kind of just forming the roster around some of the young guys. Because the reality is, and God, I hate keep saying the reality is, because it's just, it's so, you know, disheartening in a way. You can't.
Yes, yes.
It's very, very hard. And they almost did it in 2022, James, even though there was some homegrown talent. It's just very hard to build a team through free agency and spending a ton of money. It just is, especially when you don't have like the Yankees payroll or the Yankees resources money wise. Well, the Dodgers.
Jack, there's a reason, and it's funny, it's Dombrowski, but there's a reason that there's only one example of that people point to. And obviously, people have added teams, but there's only one team like ever, the '97 Marlins, that won strictly that way. And even then, Levon Hernandez was a massive part of that team, and he was Edgar Renteria, and they still had homegrown guys. It's impossible.
It's really, really hard. So I think they're, and you mentioned this last podcast, and it's the perfect way to put it, is they're trying to do two things at once. They're trying to stay competitive. Are they knocking down the door to win a championship? Are they like pushing all of their chips and saying, we got to get it done this year? No, they're 100% definitely not doing that, but they're keeping themselves just competitive enough to, hey, and this is the annoying part too, because you could say, hey, at the deadline, then we'll add. But at the same time, they haven't really added at the deadline the last couple of years. So they're trying to do two things at once while staying competitive, while not trading all their prospects and closing their window even more. And you just have to really put faith in Luke Merton, in Brian Barber, in Preston, overseeing those guys, of making sure that there is a continual wave of talent coming behind the major league roster for when these guys do get older, to where you get Castellanos off the book, you get JT off the book, you get Schwarber, Wheeler, unfortunately, at some point, Nola, and then they have enough coming behind them to where that they can supplement the roster and keep it going while Turner and Harper get older. So, I mean, listen, that's kind of just where we're at.
Well, and in the meantime, what it is, to your point where it's like going all in, and yes, they're not this offseason, but let's be honest, the last couple off seasons they have.
Uh-huh.
Like, they have spent tons and tons of money and brought in superstar players. Guess what? Trey Turner, you got to be good. Like, Turner has to be awesome now. Like, Nick Castellanos, like, live up to your $20 million. Schwarber, these guys, like, again, that's the thing, is it's like, ooh, the Phillies are not spending this offseason. Yeah, well, guess what? They're going to start the season with the fourth or fifth or third or sixth highest payroll.
I know.
They're going to be top five or right there in payroll again. Like, that should be good enough to win. Like, it should be. You just need the guys you're paying a ton of money to play better.
Yeah, and listen, I think there's a couple key cogs to this kind of year for how it's going to flip. Kepler obviously is now in the mix with that. But Turner's a huge one. I mean, Turner is arguably the biggest one. If you get and
he's the biggest one.
He hit .295 last year, but we all watched Trey last year. He was really good heading into the All-Star break. He was hot coming out of the All-Star break, and then it was just meh. I mean, he was hitting what?
Three? When he had the injury, the hamstring thing, remember? Yeah. And he wasn't running after that, and it just didn't look like the same type of player.
Yeah. So he was hitting .330 at some point in like August.
And then, I think he might have been hitting .350 when he got hurt or something. Like, he was kicking ass.
So it's still there from that standpoint, but they need him to be special. And I haven't given up on Bryson Stott, but Bryson Stott is a huge swing piece next year. If you can get 2023.
Well, we didn't talk about the injury thing last pod. We probably should have. So if you want to set that up for people who didn't see it.
Yeah. So they came out and said that he was dealing with an elbow injury last year, and it made sense watching him swing. It was maddening to watch because it was like, dude, you can't drive a baseball right now. Like, what are you trying to hit?
We talked about it on the pod. We talked about his fly balls and not even die.
I know. Well, and then at least maybe the elbow thing kind of explains that away in a certain extent. So, but getting stopped back. I mean, did you know that Stott had the highest WAR on the 2023 team? I mean,
I did not. Wow.
So, but Bryce only played, you know, a certain portion of the season. He was still like a 3+ win player, and that's not counting Zach Wheeler. I don't really count pitching WAR, but you know what I mean.
I don't either. It's a whole different ball game.
Of the position player WAR guys, and this is B WAR. I know there's F WAR, B WAR, whatever. But.
For those who don't know, that's Fangraphs and Baseball Reference. Baseball, it's not that.
Baseball Reference WAR had Stott as the number one guy on the team in WAR in 2023, and he was a really good player. And he ended the year hitting .280, but heading into September, if you remember, he's hitting over .300.
We all were talking about winning a batting title, Jack, heading into last season.
So if he can get back to being the Bryson Stott that we saw in 2023, I think we have a general sense that Bohm's going to be .280 to 300-ish with 15 home runs, but Stott cannot be a .234 hitter. I mean, he just can't be. And maybe they round out the roster here with, I would love another back end of the bullpen-ish type piece. Just saying, the Twins are possibly shopping Griffin Jacks or Duran would die for either one of them. And I think
Duran is like a freaking superstar.
Oh, yeah, he's done. It would cost a lot. But, and this is, we're going on. Now, I know the Duvall bit's dead because I believe he's too old now, but I believe I have my new Adam Duvall. I'm going to keep saying every offseason to just sign and just to play center field if Johan Rojas thinks. But Harrison Bader for 1 year, like $3 million, just in case Johan Rojas doesn't do the job in center field. And then you have a Marsh Rojas Bader kind of thing in center, and he's not a center fielder anymore. But I think Grichuk should still be on the table as another kind of right-handed bat. If you can,
well, especially with the Kepler signing, like you just talked about, a right-handed stick that could be replace Wes Wilson. Like Grichuk that's like a perfect spot for him.
And here's where it drives me nuts, man. And we talked about this at the deadline and in the subsequent months after that, where you're just banking on guys that had put up really good numbers in AAA, but haven't done it at the big league level. Again, if you're not going to go get a star level player or a high level starter, get some studs on the bench and studs in the bullpen that aren't going to cost a ton of money. If you're worried about 301,
Dodgers thing,
which they're going to go over 301. It's just a matter of how much they're going to go over $301 million. And the more you go over it, the higher the tax is. And we know 110% taxed over, we get it. But if you're not going to go get a high-level starter, you're not going to go get a Bregman, you're not going to go spend money on that, which I think people have now kind of just accepted that they're not going to do, then build a super bullpen and build as strong of a bench as you can. It's how the Dodgers have Ohtani. That's great. They have stars. We know that. But they also have the Tommy Edmonds. They also have the Kopech. You know, they have these guys that they take shots on. I think Kepler and Romano are actually Dodgers kind of moves, James. I really do.
I totally agree.
It's just get more of those types. Like, again, Grichuk should not cost you more.
Yeah, another starter. Yes. Get another starter. You know, all that stuff.
If you end this offseason with filling out the bench with more high quality-ish major league types and you get another real bullpen option, I think you're mostly fine. I think you're mostly fine, and I think you round out the edge of the roster and you should win 90-plus games.
It's amazing how our expectations.
I know. I'm disappointed in myself even just uttering the sentence, James. I'm disappointed in myself, but yeah. This is where they've gotten me to, and I still listen. We're gonna be here, pal. I mean,
look, it's back to our roots. I mean, when is the IOP spot? Like, we honestly felt weird about it being like a big money team pod. I mean, that's not how we do things.
We're a
raised pod at heart, man.
We are a Bill Giles. This is a small market team podcast.
You're damn right, buddy. You're damn right. All right. So what's next? If you had to guess, and you mentioned a Bader type thing, but if you had to guess, do you think it's more of these kind of fringe radar moves? Do you think they have obviously not necessarily Bregman, but like a big-ish move, a trade on the horizon or anything like that?
So I think there's still, again, I think we both been resigned to the fact that it seems like Bohm's going to come back. I still think there's a chance for a Bohm trade. I mean, Rosenthal did throw that out there. I think the one to look for on a
For what it's worth, Rosenthal said he still thinks he's getting traded, like pretty strongly.
Yeah, I think the one trade to look for is either the Astros or the Mariners. And I still, to my core, believe that there's a path to a Luis Castillo Bohm headline of a package.
Well, that's what Rosenthal mentioned. He said Bohm plus pieces and a cat. And I mean, Luis Castillo, I mean, that'd be a move, man.
It's $24 million a year. They seem like they want to shed that salary. And we know the Phillies are concerned about how much they want to go over the luxury tax. So you got to find some way to supplement it. Maybe Jerry DePoto really misses Taiwan Walker. You know, maybe he just says, hey,
oh, probably. Yeah.
We'll bring him back. He won't. But if they can find some way, and again, it's not Bohm for Castillo straight up, because I think the Phillies would have to give more. But I think
they definitely would.
They would. But the Mariners, I feel like, want to kind of shed some money. They're not a huge market team. They need a bat. They DFA'd your boy Josh Rojas. So I think there's some pathway there. And then with the Astros, if they lose Bregman, maybe they pivot to Bohm, since Arenado turned down the opportunity to go to the Astros. Maybe they pivot there and the Phillies can get, I'm not a huge Presley guy anymore. I mean, $14 million for 1 year of Ryan Presley, who's like been declining a little bit. They have other pieces in the bullpen. Maybe you go that route with Bohm. But again, the issue is, who are you replacing him with? If you trade Alec Bohm, 1 year of Yoan Moncada.
I loved Yoan Moncada. I thought Yoan Moncada was going to be a freaking star. And he had that one year. Yes. He was freaking awesome.
Yes. Yes. And at one point, he was viewed as the Mike Trout of the infield prospects. So, you know.
He was the best prospect in baseball. Yeah.
Bring him home, Dave. Bring him home. So, I don't know. Again, we're just all throwing ideas out there. The Castillo one is the one that I keep coming back to, where they can add a difference maker-ish in Luis Castillo. I think now his ERA somehow was 3.5 last year, which feels fake. Every time I watch Luis Castillo, I don't think I've ever seen him let up a hit. But
I totally agree with you.
But that's the one that I think makes sense for a lot of reasons. So that's the one I'm kind of keeping my eye on as the next possible big move they can make. They'll make other moves. It's just they're probably going to be more of the Romano and Max Kepler types.
And we'll be here for more not worthy emergency pods. All right, no take bag today, I'm assuming. No perfect offseason today.
No, the perfect offseason is already complete, man. Romano and Kepler in 1 year.
Got it.
This is everyone's dream. But I think we've done a decent I think we've done a decent job today of at least calming everyone down.
I hope so, buddy.
It's a fine signing. It's a fine signing with some upside. Look at everything before last year, when he had like three massive injuries that he had to deal with, and you had a pretty good player. Plus, James, a career 1300 OPS at Citizens Bank Park. And in the year that he had 24 home runs, park adjusted to CVP, that would have been 29 home runs. So listen,
you did your work here.
What do you want me to do? He has 164 career home runs. Had he played at Citizens Bank Park, I believe it's in the 190s, 180s, something along those lines.
This is why you're the best, buddy. This is why people need you. This is why we recorded for stuff like that.
This is Zach Bond 2.0.
That's definitely our title. All right. We'll be back the next time the Phillies do something. I'm sure we'll do a pod over the holidays at some point. But if we don't talk to everyone prior to Christmas, Hanukkah, all that, happy holidays to everyone. I know I speak for Jack when I say that this community is our favorite thing in life, and what we do, all of it, is our favorite thing. So thanks for making it special. All right. Hopefully they give us another exciting 1 year deal that we could talk about.
Yeah. You're off for what? The next 2 weeks, right? If I was listening.
Yeah, to buddy, I got some time,
you got
pal.
Plenty of time. Guess what, buddy? If they do something, it's going to be a 2-hour podcast. There's going to be 18 more perfect offseasons.
I've already accepted it.
Yes. Yes. I love when you have to accept.
On call for you, Jack.
Yes. That's all I want.
All right.
All I want.
All right. Well, until that call happens. Oh, yeah, soon. He's fripped himself.